1212. Yeah, yeah. Hey, hey.
Get up with
Jesse and Jules. Get the catch up at hit.com.au
or download the Hit app.
This is the catch up on Hit.
Just ask Dr. Justin.
Dr. Justin from Nudge Psychology joins us in studio. Good morning,
mate. Yes, I do. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Now, in a sec, I'm going to ask you a second question today. Is about their four-year-old. Someone's got a four-year-old son, one of our listeners has sent in, and they're worried about the positive or lack of positive self-image that they might be developing. So parents got a bit of a question around that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah, get to that soon. Right now, we've got a question from someone, which I think a lot of people can relate to this one. I feel like my partner and I are always on our phones and are super disconnected because of this, but I cannot see things changing. So what should I do?
Listeners, I'm watching Shan read that off her phone.
Off my phone. And I will continue to look at my phone this whole time.
Oh, yes. Shan, we never talk anymore.
Sorry, I didn't hear you there. I was just on my phone.
But if you Snapchat me, I'll get it light up.
That's right. Then you got my attention. All right. No. Yeah, look, I think that's a real problem. So the trouble with phones and similar technology like iPads is they are really good at grabbing your attention. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty unreasonable to expect yourself to be able to spontaneously just pop off it and not do it anymore. So as unromantic as it sounds, I think it's really romantic to plan. Mm-hmm. So planning, talking to your partner about, let's have a switch off Sunday. Or between 7 and 8, we'll switch the phones off. Or even, look, 7 and 7.08. But that you should actually schedule time. Because these little things, they whittle away at our time. And if it's stealing our time, it's stealing our life. And you don't know how much of that stuff you got left. Doesn't matter how rich you get. You can't buy your past back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a conversation you can have with your partner. And this is really important because that would involve a Ulysses clause.
Okay.
And that means that you've made an agreement ahead of time that I might bust your chops about it. So if my partner says to me, listen, at 7 o'clock, let's turn the phones off and, I don't know, we'll listen to some music or play backgammon or just talk crap. You know, then I'm expecting when she says, hey, turn your phone off. And then, we've already talked about this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So I'm not feeling like she's picking on me or having a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so with making time for relationships when you've been together for a little while and the hormones have started to die down a little bit, planning and more planning.
Question for you with the phones, because I feel like sometimes we don't even notice how much time we spend on the phones.
We don't.
Because a lot of relationships actually would start with a little bit of online flirting, you know, like you tagging your friend, you know, this girl in a meme.
You're making me feel old, Jesse. And then,
but I know that you see people do that. They just tag someone in a funny joke or something else online and then you're like, oh, cool. And that's the back and forth without really having a back and forth.
Yeah.
So if that's how you've started and you do that as a couple, how do you know whether that's a good or a bad thing later on down the track?
I think variety. I mean, you know, there's my wife will tag me into things or send me funny things or thought this is really hilarious. But we spend so much time on our phones. There's plenty of time for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think so. Like, what I'm finding is a lot of couples are starting to have really difficult or hard conversations over text, over email.
Mm.
And I must admit, I think that's something to be discouraged. I think we really do need practice sitting across from our friend,
reading body language, or employer.
And being able to look at them when we say things
that
are hard to say, like, I love you, or hard to say, like, you know, your breath is appalling this week. Have you been brushing? You know,
that's why I've been texting you so much.
Yeah, that's why I've been texting. I can't, it's easier to love you from afar at the moment.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, so I think, again, it's all about balance.
Yeah.
But there's an exercise you can try just for a laugh, and you have a bit of a laugh, is sit knees touching with your hands on your laps, looking at each other. Into each other's face for a minute. No face pulling, no joking, no talking.
Wow. Okay.
Now a conversation looks really easy.
I think that's a test they do on The Bachelor. And
is it really?
Is it? Compatibility, yeah.
I'll confess, I've never watched it.
Who would have known The Bachelor actually leading the way?
There you go. Nice work, guys.
Dr. Justin, I'll get you to stick around because I want to ask you on the other side of this another question we've got from the listener about positive self-images in kids and how parents can affect that.
Right.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll do it on the other side of this.
Just ask Dr. Justin.
We are joined in studio by Dr. Justin from Nudge Psychology at the moment. You can submit your questions at hit.com.au. Ask Dr. Justin just about anything you like, especially on along the lines of psychology. That's your area of expertise.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know what the longest river of the world is.
It's not just a river in Africa.
That's denial, isn't it? Yeah. That one I know about.
What type of this is a question we got in. What type of conversation or questions can I ask my 4-year-old son to gauge his opinion or his view of himself? I.e., like, for me to check in and kind of learn if he's developing a positive self-image or a negative self-image of himself.
Right. Okay, what a good question. Look, when I taught developmental psychology at uni for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so being in that field and being in the early intervention field, I often have parents ask me, how do I encourage, because I'm guessing the listener's hoping for positive self-esteem and a positive self-image.
Sure.
Other parents want to know how to get their kids to take their education seriously, manage their temper, be nice to people, mm-hmm. have good manners. And, you know, the literature says the same thing for all of those. It's the same answer. Mm-hmm. And there's two. One, if you're asking me that question, you're probably doing a great job because interest in parenting is one of the biggest predictors of a positive outcome.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, could I do this better? That. Because believe me, the really rubbish parents are out there going, nope, I'm doing it perfectly.
Killing it.
Killing it. I'm nailing it. I never expected to be a parent, but here I am smashing
couldn't,
it. You
couldn't
know?
Tell you where Jimmy is right now. Yeah. But,
but when he gets hungry, he always comes home. That's But, you know, and the second one is, if you want to grow theirs, grow yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you want to your children take education seriously, are you educating yourself?
Yeah, because they take their cues from you, right?
If you don't want the kids to yell, are you yelling?
Yeah.
So, they look at you and say, this is how I do grown up.
Yeah, of course.
So there's probably no conversation that you can have with a 3 or 4-year-old that'll easily get them to access their emotional state or their self-view. Mm. That's really meta for a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's very hard for them to say, well, you know, actually, I have been feeling a bit down on myself lately.
Mm. Yeah.
Probably what's better is to watch your child, you know, and if... you know, so I would say a 4-year-old probably that isn't scared of getting things wrong and having another go has probably got really good self-image. A child that's really happy to talk about the things they like to do and encourage other people to have an interest in them has probably got a good self-image.
Yeah.
And so a child with a growth mindset, and by a growth mindset, I used to be a coach, and with my students I would say, you're not allowed to say I can't unless there's yet on the end of it.
Sure.
So I can't do this role yet.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, so encouraging a growth mindset, keeping an eye out for that, modeling a growth mindset that you know, you're really valuable and wonderful and really cool, regardless of what you can do.
Yeah.
And if you can't do it now, it doesn't mean you're not good at it, it just means you can't do it yet.
Yeah.
And so modeling that, looking out for it, those are the things that tend to give you a fairly good idea of how they're tracking with that. And if you want to encourage a child to have good self-efficacy and self-esteem, find out what they love and help them get good at it.
Yeah.
Help them do lots of it and find joy in it.
I think it is really true what you said before about how obviously kids just look at their parents and the people around them and that's how they learn things. So if you are, you know, a mum and you're there around your kid saying, oh, I hate my hair, I hate this, then your little kid is going to start thinking that that's how they need to think about themselves.
Yeah, that appearance
you've got to be positive.
Worthiness.
Yeah, you've got to be positive for your kid to be positive.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Or they see you learning something new and not being very good at it yet, but loving doing it anyway.
Yeah,
that's a great thing for them to see.
Dr. Justin, as always, very insightful. Thank you for coming and joining us again this morning.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to pop your questions, is hit.com.au. Dr. Justin from Nudge Psychology. Want more Jesse and Joel? Download the Hit app. This is the show. Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.